What's absolutely fascinating about it is also that in Megillah it says, after in the last page of the Megillah, it says that that Achashverosh tells his wife Esther, what after Haman is disappears from the scene, after the 10 sons of Haman and then Achashverosh asks, you know, the happy ending kind of, you know, he asks, what would you like, what do you want? And she says, you know what, please, Achashverosh, can the apostle, can I see the apostle? What do you want? And then she says, what does she reply? She says, please, would it be possible to hang the sons of Ammon? Now, good morning, Esther, where were you? If you look 10 seconds before, they were hanging on the gallows. Check out the window, look out, they're hanging on the gallows over there, they're out there. Why are you asking now to hang the sons of Ammon? It's an unbelievable passage. If you look at it, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Mocha, that's right. Yeah, Mocha. It says Mocha. So they say that Mocha, Rashi in Pashas Bo, he says there's two Mochas. Yesh Mocha Shel Hayom, Yesh Mocha Shel Hazman, the Pasuk says. There's two types of Mocha. Mocha can mean literally tomorrow. And Mocha can also mean after a certain amount of time, eventually, in future. So they say that that's Pshat in the Megillah. That it's not referring to when Esther Hamalkus, unbelievable, Mchol Bevayis Malach, that when she was asking to be hanged, that the 10 sons of Ammon should be hanged, she was not referring to the 10 sons of Ammon that we know, because they were hanging outside. She was referring to something, the Ruach HaKodesh Esther. It said the Gemara says she had Ruach HaKodesh. She had Ruach HaKodesh. She was not referring to the 10 hanging out, the 10 literal physical sons of Ammon. Rather, she was referring to the 10 sons of Ammon, which are the 10 Nazis that were found to be guilty in the Nuremberg Towers and were hanged in 1946. Hence, the pasuk says, "Tof." The letters are the merumas. There's remes here. The small letters in the Megillah are Tof Shin Zayin, which was the year Tof Shin Zayin, which was the year of the Nuremberg trials. It's unbelievable. It's mind-boggling. And it's also interesting. I think I heard that. I don't know who told me that. I've forgotten who told me that. I don't know if Mechol Beweinsbandel points out, but it says also. It says, but I says Me'omen. It says. Es Pashan Dosa, Ves Vaisosa, Ves 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 Ves. Gemara says famously that Ves is always comes Lerabois. Right? We know where Kabbat is Avicha Vezimecha. Es Lerabois. Naftali, we know this Gemara very well. Yeah? Ves, Es always comes to include something. When the Pasuk says Kabbat Es Avicha Vezimecha, you should honor your father and your mother. Ves comes Lerabois, comes to include something. What is this Ves? Could you say Kabet Es Avicha Ve'imecha? What is it? Ves comes to include something. Come on, says includes your oldest sibling. Yeah, that's the reality. You have to. It's my older brother's favorite Gemara. Yeah, he always quotes it. So it comes Lerabois only. So they say that's Ves passions. Ves. What does it come to include? Ves. And the answer is, it's including those tens of Haman of Tovshin of 1946. It's referring to those 10 sons of Haman. It's fascinating, almost fascinating. So that's the Macha. When she asked to have 10 sons of Haman hanging, she's not referring to the ones that were hanging outside. Then she's referring to other sons of Haman. She's referring to the Amalekim of the Nazis. She's referring to that, and that's the Ves, and that's the Macha. It's incredible. That's the Mechol Beweis Mandel. The Mechol Beweis Mandel noticed that. Again?
The name of the person who did the hanging is called Chief Inspector Woods. And in the middle it says Al Aitz.
Yeah. Ah, very interesting. It says Al Aitz. Very interesting. Yeah. Very interesting.
Can we a little bit late? I don't know if you said this already. The Nazi who committed suicide the night before was a cross-dresser, no?
Yes.
So,
yeah.
They say Kinnegan and his daughter.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And it's also interesting that I heard last year, it doesn't say anywhere that Haman actually died. So you notice in the Megillah, I didn't notice until last year, it doesn't actually say anywhere in the Megillah that... Yeah, that's right. Vashti also not. Yeah, that's right. Vashti, but it doesn't say anywhere about the Haman that he actually died. And it's interesting that we don't Hitler Machshmoy was also they found some sort of evidence, but very much nobody actually physically. I mean, yes, he is dead, but the evidence is a bit. I think that it's not 100% glass clear. Yes, there has been some evidence. I think, especially for the last 20 years or so, they found a bit with DNA. The Russians tried to whatever, but I think there is some. But it wasn't glass clear evidence. You know, they didn't actually find his body. No, they didn't actually.
So how do we know?
Yeah, it's most likely it's people witnessing something fairly similar, but people witnessing seeing things which leads to that knowledge, but it's not actually. Yeah. Anyway, so that's okay. We're up to Siman Tov Ein Beis. We learned about Hasevo last night, and we continue with Seif Hey. So we learned that Hasevo is a requirement. We learned there's two potential understandings: whether Hasevo is a chiyuv in its own right, perhaps, or perhaps Hasevo is a way of fulfilling the mitzvahs of the night, perhaps. Machloek is Rishonim. But either way, you've got to be klein when you drink Stalak at various points on the night. Now, is everybody required to recline, or are some people exempt? So the emes is that we learned yesterday that women is already a bit of a discussion. Why is women perhaps excluded? Perhaps. But that's not what we learned. Choshuv. Women are very choshuv. So they don't have to recline, and they therefore rely on the opinion of the Rav Yoh, who holds that nowadays there is no obligation to recline. Why does the Rav Yoh hold so? Because nowadays it's very uncommon. That's not the way it's not the way we find it comfortable. Okay, we're going to talk about the Rav Yoh more. But now see, Pei, last line of page, Pei. Bein Etzel Oviv. These are other people that are exempt from mitzvah hasevo. Bein etzel aviv, a son in presence of his father, tzorich hasevo, needs to recline. Afilu rabbi muvok, even if he is his main rebbe. So he's actually forget. He's not exempt. He is obligated. Bein etzel aviv, son in presence of his father, needs to recline. Afilu rabbi muvok, even if he's his main rebbe who taught him most of his Torah. Talmid lifnei rabbi, however, a pupil in front of his teacher, in front of his rebbe, eino tzorich hasevo, does not need to recline. A pupil in front of his rebbe doesn't recline. Afilu enoi rabbi muvak, even if it's not his main rebbe, just a kind of a teacher who taught him a substantial amount, he shouldn't recline in front of him. Elohim kein, unless yitain loi rabbi roshus, his rebbe's teacher has explicitly allowed him and given him permission to recline. V'talmid chochom muflok b'doiro. Here we come to a concept of a talmid chochom muflok b'doiro. A person is considered the generation's greatest Torah giant. Avalpi, although Shaloi Lamad Miniklum, he hasn't taught anything, he hasn't learned anything from this great Torah giant. Choshuv Karabo is considered like his Rebbe, the Einoi Tzori Chasevo, and does not require, he doesn't lean in front of him. Vedavka, Kshoichelin al shulchan echot, this is only for eating on one table. Avalim oichel al shulchan bifnei atzmoi, but if you're eating on an individual table, on your own independently, tzorech lasev, you do need to recline. So here we go. So at Ben Etzel Aviv, we do recline. Why is that? So Mishtabunz have gotten you dalet bottom line. Ta'af ta'abein chay bichvodu meiroi. Although a son is required to give honor to his father, for kolchkinim rabbi, even more so if he's his teacher, mikol mokim nevertheless, tzorech hasev, you do recline. Timistoma of mochilivnei, because generally speaking, her father will allow his son to recline. So just to understand this, it's important. That really, the way it works is that, of course, you've got an obligation to recline. But at the same time, you've got also an obligation to honor your father. And it's not respectful to be too comfortable and to chilled, and to, it's not on in front of your father. It's not, you've got to have a certain, there has to be a certain, what's the word? Oral. What's that for him?
Oral.
Yeah, in front. Yeah, certain reverence, yeah. In front of your father. You can't be too chilled. So therefore, I mean, to us it sounds very foreign, right? Especially to us fathers, you know. Yeah, it sounds a bit of a, but that's the reality, that's the reality. It wasn't such a long time ago that people used to get up for their fathers, you know. Some families still do it, but it's getting rare and rare. So I think we should reintroduce it, no? Do you like the idea? Yeah? So, but Lemaisa, So therefore, really, Haseva is a contradiction to. There's a contradiction over here. On the one hand, you've got to respect your father. On the other hand, you have to recline. How does that work? How can you recline in front of your father? It's not respectful. So the answer is, it's true. There is a contradiction. In principle, you're right. But if a father is that kind of person that is going to give a shus, he's going to be moichel on his covered, then that's fine. So father is automatically assumed that he allows his son to recline, because it's mitzvah to recline. So therefore, we're assuming that the father allows his son to recline. There's a mechila. With the Rebbe, it's not like that. With the Rebbe, you don't assume automatically that he allows. With the Rebbe, if he explicitly allows, it's fine. But otherwise, you have to assume that he doesn't necessarily give permission. And if you have to, only if he explicitly allows it, that's when you recline. Otherwise, you do not recline because it's lack of cover to your Rebbe. If he allows explicitly, it's fine. But you can't assume.
Why would he not? Why would he not allow you to?
Yeah.
And he's your Rebbe, so why?
There could be two reasons. Either he might not have thought of allowing explicitly. He just didn't, it's not dafka, just didn't think about it. Or he may feel that it's better for the Talmud to keep that certain distance and that keep a certain respect. For the sake of the pupil. That it's better to have some distance and some respect. And that will be in the benefit of the pupil himself. It is a definite educational argument for that. Now I want to just point out, I believe it's quite a chiddush. It's not in many places that we find this concept of a rabbi. Normally a rabbi who teaches the Torah, I'm fine with that concept. A rabbi who's taught you a lot of Torah, you've got to respect him. I totally hear that. A rabbi who's taught you a lot of Torah, you've got to respect him because he's given you an enormous amount of knowledge. What I'm pointing out here, and what I'm stressing, is the concept of Talmid Chocham Muflog B'doiroi, which is the Rav Eliashiv of yesteryear, which is the Rebbe Kiveiga of previous generation, the Chaznish of last generation, the ultimate Torah giant of the generation. Currently, probably who would be fitting in that category, probably? Probably Reb Chaim Kanievsky, or who else is there? Yeah, I mean, we're talking about the Torah giants of the generation. Now, here we are finding an interesting concept. I would like to just stress that. Could be you didn't learn a thing from that particular Torah giant. Could be that you didn't learn a thing from Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Could be, Lebodl Menchaim, Lechaim, you didn't learn a thing from Rav Eliashiv. Could be that you didn't hear one interesting or important psak from Rav Vozner. Yet, you have an obligation to give him the covert as if he taught you an enormous amount of Torah. Why so? Why? Why? He didn't teach you a thing. So the problem is that we are very familiar with that concept. But I'm trying to challenge that and understand that. Why is it that there's a concept of God Lador, not in a political kind of level or a, you know, I belong to this, I belong to that. No, that there's a halachic concept of it, which I find very interesting. I'm just stressing that. He might not be a chiddush to you, but I'm just saying there's a halachic concept of a Godel Hadoyer. We use this. Nowadays it's been marketed, right? It's kind of any tzedakah nowadays who wants to do well, it's got to have a picture of a... You know, anything nowadays is very political and everything is the marketing and everything is... Here we're finding a halachic concept of a god la'adoy. I found it very interesting. I think it only comes... If I'm not mistaken, it's one of two places that we find this concept. He's here. Halachic nafkamina of a god la'adoy. Yeah. I don't know, is that to me it's a big chiddush. That is a halachic concept of a god la'adoy. And I want to also say that it's not easy to define such a person. How do you define such a person? How do you define the god la'adoy? How do you define the god la'adoy? How do you define the god la'adoy? Is it about his the waiting time to get into him? Perhaps. Is it about his lack of availability? Is it about how many pictures of him are hanging? Is it about how much does he make into the newspapers, into the Rebbe's pictures? How do you define the god la'adoy? And who decides? Who decides? That's right. So all those questions are very valid questions. But ultimately, we've got to find answers for that because we've got somebody who's called the Godel Hadoy, Talmid Chochem Muflug Bedoy, somebody who's famously, I think it's very much on a side note, I'm pointing this out. But this is one of the few places that we find this concept. We find this concept also in Hilchas Kovod Raboy. There's that concept as well. When it comes to respect, it's very similar to here, that when it comes to giving respect to a Rebbe, we find it there as well. Yeah, could be also, but that's the only two places that I can think of where we... Kavua, I don't know.
Yeah, in terms of the Aaron in the
base. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
of course.
Didn't want his Aaron in the
base. Yeah, so maybe that might be a third place. Yeah, okay. So, here we go with regards to... Yeah. Good, we move on. We see Vav Hashamesh Toich Hasev, or the waiter. A waiter needs to recline as well. Why not? Pardon?
He's on his feet.
Mishnah Bosef got new test. Toich Hasev, or Afilu Pitnei Adoni in front of his master. Davol Pi, Shutomit Meshubat Lisazik Betzoy Kabais. Although he's clearly employed and he's got to work to do his job as a waiter. Mikol Makam Nevertheless, Mchuyvud Aris Cheirus. Nevertheless, he's obligated to show signs of Cheirus, Beleil Pesach, on the night of Pesach, he's obligated, and to show freedom on Lila Seder, Velechol, and to eat alcohol, ponim at the very least, Kezayis Matzah, olive size of Matzah, for Kezayis of Ekoimen, Kezayis of Ekoimen, the Arba Koisos, and similarly also the four cups of wine, Be'asebo, whilst reclining, Guadin, similarly, Poel, a worker, Sheishlo, Talmid, Lamed, Umnus, Chayva, Talmid, Be'asebo, somebody who is teaching somebody a job. Yeah, somebody who teaches a trade, a skill to a young person. He's also the Talmid has to recline in front of him. Although he obviously must respect him, he must respect his teacher. But nevertheless, Hasevo is in place. Right? Okay. Siv Zayin. Kol mishetzoy Hasevo. What happens if somebody is obligated to recline but failed to do so? So there's a bit of a problem here. I think you pointed this out yesterday. So there's a problem here. So you've got to recline, but you forgot. So what does that mean in reality? So we discussed yesterday. What was the point that we mentioned yesterday? If a Hasevo is that the Reis of the Rabbonon. Naftali, what is Hasevo? The Rabbonon. And the mitzvah of Matzah is the Reis. So if a person failed to recline, but he ate the matzah, he just didn't recline. So what have we got over here? He for sure didn't do the drabonon, but did he do the raisa? Did he eat matzah, but didn't fulfill the rabbinical aspect to it? Or perhaps, and that's very lomdish, perhaps you could say that when the Chachamim said that you've got to recline, then that's the way they said that. That's the way you have to fulfill. You can only fulfill the mitzvah in that particular way. And subsequently, what will come out?
A rabbinical prerequisite can't be ma'akir of deraisa.
Says who?
I can't think of an example.
Okay.
If you have a deraisa mitzvah, but a rabbinical thing can't be ma'akir of deraisa.
Oh, good, very good.
And Gilan and Shabbos and Shaker and
Jabba, so you do find Rabbanim. Yeah, there is. It is definitely. The question is, what did Chachamim exactly mean? What do you tell her? What did Chachamim say? When they said, you've got to recline, what did they say? Did they say you have to recline and the Torah obligation is unaffected? Or did they say That's the way you've got to do the mitzvah. And if you fail to recline, you haven't actually done the mitzvah. Interesting. Pardon?
Are they two separate mitzvahs?
Good question. It's likely to be connected to that.
Reclining is the rabbanon.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question. Is it a separate mitzvah? Is it a mitzvah? So it might have.
You don't recline when you're eating the whole meal, do you?
No, you don't. Because the Chachamim said you only got to recline at some specific moments and times. Not you don't have to recline at all times.
The argument would be then, in order to fill the mitzvah of eating matzah, is as you say, is reclining part of that mitzvah in order to fill it. Or is it just a separate mitzvah?
Good question. These are all the great achronim, they discuss that. It's very interesting. It's a real good question.
There is a shita, or a kru, I don't remember who it was, who holds that after chatzos, anything that the chachamim said you had to do it before chatzos, they were oiser, they were oiker the key mitzvah, yeah. After chatzos. I don't remember who it was. Who. So there is, again, another mokum where there's at least one shita that says chum oikah the mitzvah in deraisa, and also you've got the whole of the tikkunis of Rabbeinu
what do you mean, Gzeir Rova? What are you referring to?
It's called not the Gershon.
What were you referring to? What point?
About being asked to say Shema or learn Torah without going to mikveh. I forget what those Tikkunos were. Ezra. He was.
Yes, you see that? It's got might be, yeah. I hear. So.
The writer of Shema without. He said you had to read it belay, but you couldn't say it bepeh.
So you're saying that, yeah, so that might be all connected to that idea that at times, yeah, that's right, these are good examples of at times, Chachamim, they qualified, is that the word? They said, you can only fulfill the mitzvah in that particular way. So you've got the deraisa of eating matzah, you can only fulfill it if you recline. If you don't recline, you can only fulfill the deraisa. So nafkamina will be, what happens if you ate the matzah and you didn't recline? Has that ever happened to anybody? For one of the Dalit curses, you forgot to recline.
First, you're gonna drink again.
Oh, first you drink again, and
yeah,
why? You see a differentiating between the first two and the last two. Why would there be a difference between the first two and the last two?
Because your
eyes, sir. And the second one is.
And what was the second one? Because I can do the magid. Yeah, very good. Yeah, so the magid is right.
Yeah, so lemaisa, you're right. It's very good. So that will be discussed in Siv Zayin. We'll discuss that in Mitzvah Hashem in the next year. Let's just summarize what we learned this evening. We continue with the fascinating halachas of our Seva. And we discussed that, besides the women, which is discussed in its own right, which we discussed last night, there is also other exceptional people that do not need to recline. The main rationale for the main exemption, the reason behind it is, if it's not respectful, it's not respectful to be too chilled in front of a person you need to honor. You don't like take your shoes over, legs up and like chill out with your shirt tucked out in front of somebody you need to honor. It's not appropriate. Nowadays it's foreign. It's foreign to us. It's foreign. But yes, that's in reality the way it's meant to look like. So, do you know, until two generations ago, it's not such a long time ago, people would speak to their father in the third person. You know, it's not such a long time ago, yeah? You can say, daddy, you'd say, does daddy want, or whatever, yeah? It's not. So a father by his, son by his father, he should recline. The reason is, although it's takana respectful, but we assume that the father is moichel. You can't person give me moichel. A Talmud if Nei Rabbi does not need to recline. A Rebbe is different. The Rebbe might not authorize it might not be moichel, and unless he explicitly states chill out, feel comfortable, feel at home, unless he says that, he should not recline in front of his Rebbe. And then we're learning the concept of a Talmud Chacham Muflag B'Doiro Egal HaDoir, that even if you didn't learn a thing from him, you've got to respect him. These halachas are only said if it's on the same table. If you're not sharing the same table, if you're like kind of in a different area and you've got your own table, then these halachas won't apply. You can recline as you feel comfortable. Fine, these are the halachas of Talmid and son, and more of those halachas in Mitzvah after Shabbos. I wish you a very good Shabbos.